Blog Talk Radio.
I've been quiet for way too long. I can't fight it. No, no more. Got a story, and it's time to tell. 'Cause I just can't keep it to myself. Somebody give me your microphone or a megaphone or a telephone.
Yes, sir.
And welcome to the Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in. And now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God.
Hallelujah. It's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, fresh and normal. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me.
What? Oh,
if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
Give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Welcome to the Seasons of Purpose radio broadcast. We are your hosts,
Pastor Jasper
and Pastor Constance Whitehurst, and we thank God for you tuning in tonight. You could have made a decision to be anywhere else, but we are so thankful that you chose to tune in to our broadcast. We have a very special guest that has graced us and to return to be able to share with you some information regarding God's divine financial plan, wealth building, and financial strategy stability tips for you. And that is none other than Pastor James Baker. He was with us 2 Mondays ago. He was able also to share with us on our Queen Talk radio broadcast. And tonight he's back to share the latter of the strategic financial principles and checklist that he started Thursday night. He shared principles 1 through 5. Tonight he will be sharing principles 6 through 10. And you are in for a special treat and a powerful, powerful message regarding, again, financial stability, wealth building. And so we want to make sure that we don't perish for a lack of knowledge. And so therefore, that's why we're bringing to you these programs to help to strengthen and edify. And so, but before we go ahead and get started tonight, and then we're going to love to be able to usher in the presence of the Lord with song. As the praises go up, we know his blessings come down. And then we're going to go to the throne of grace and prayer. And following that, we will be bringing Pastor Baker into the studio. So at this time, I would like for you to listen and just be blessed by, again, Hezekiah Walker sharing that truly every praise, not some, but every praise belongs to our God. Listen and be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Let's take it up one more time. Every praise.
praise God. Every praise belongs to our God. I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads with me as we go to the throne of grace and prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to come to you, Lord God, and to be able to share with our audience and with your people, Father God. We ask that you just bless everyone that's on this call tonight, Heavenly Father, that you meet them at their point of need, Lord God. If there are those that have sickness and need healing in their bodies, we pray for healing. If there's those that have financial needs, Lord God, we know that you are Jehovah Jireh and that, Lord, you are our provider, Heavenly Father. If there's those that have relational need, whatever, Lord God, that they stand in need of, we pray, Lord God, that you are the need maker. Oh, yes, you are, Lord God, and there is absolutely nothing that is impossible for you to do. So we thank you, Lord God, and we thank you for this opportunity again to come before you through this broadcast to be able to bring forth your word, Heavenly Father, and we certainly give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, and we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God, audience. As I share with you, we have in the person Pastor James Baker. I've given his bio in the past for those of you that are on the line and have tuned in, but just as a refresher, more than anything, this man, though he has a host of accolades, he is a mighty man of God. He is also a leadership coach and consultant. He's the founder of Grace and Truth Leadership Organization. He also hosts each Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m., a Grace and Truth Leadership Zoom call, praise God. And he is the author of a book, Self-Care from the Inside Out. And so tonight we are just thrilled. We are so thankful to be able to have him back again to be able to share with you. So this is valuable information, and you will want to take notes. So if you haven't already, gathered together your notebook, pens, and paper, and get ready to be blessed. At this time, I'm going to bring to the lines to you none other than Pastor James Baker. Pastor Baker, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can. The mic is yours. Good evening, and God bless
Hello.
You.
Great evening to you and great evening to all of the callers that are coming in. And certainly I wanted to just take a moment to thank God for this opportunity. And
Amen.
Certainly to you, Pastor, Senior Pastor Constance and Whitehurst and Executive Pastor Jasper, we just want to thank you. I just personally want to thank you for having me. And you said something early in when you was talking. You said that the people perish for the lack of knowledge, and that's in Hosea 4:6, and you are so right. There are two reasons, right? People perish for knowledge, for not having knowledge, and also, right, the people for not having vision. So we thank you for
that's
leadership, which is in Proverbs 29:18, and we thank you for the vision that you have for just even pulling this together, putting this is literally like a webinar. This is like financial literacy course that you're providing for your callers and for the people of God. So we just want to thank you for just this opportunity and for what you're doing for the kingdom of God in this regard. So,
Amen.
So thank you again. Thank you again. I just wanted to say to all the callers, I salute you as well, all of God's children, ministers, and people of God everywhere. Just want to say thank you. Glad to have you one more time, right? We have March, and it's a great month, right? Women's History Month, Her Story Month, I like to say, right? A new month, a new beginning, a new mindset, a new focus, a new start, new intentions, new results, and a new me. A new me and a new you. We have a chance to do that. And
Amen.
So I'm grateful. Today's subject and what we had titled it was Strategic Financial Plan principles and checklists, but if I had to, just for this brevity of time, I'd like to just throw what we call, I guess, an addendum to it. If I had to have a subtitle, which I don't do too often, I'd like to for you to write this down. Going from financial illiteracy to financial legacy, right? Going from financial illiteracy to financial legacy. That's the kind of the information that I'm going to share with you that I've been sharing from Thursday. I'm going to kind of bring you all up to speed on what I shared real quickly with the first five that I share, but it's going really going to take us from financial illiteracy to financial legacy, right? And so I want all of those that are under the sound of my voice, I just want to grab a passage of scripture that I actually shared actually on Thursday. I want to just kind of make sure that we're all congruent to this time. Thanks again for having me. And so I wanted, it's not necessarily a familiar passage when it comes to finance, but I saw there to be a link here. So I wanted to read it again. It's in Genesis 2 and 18, right? And I just think I want to set the tone, right, for men and for women today, what this is all about for us, right, for men and for women. And in 2:18 it says this way in the King James, it says, "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, but I will make him and help me for him." And help me for him. And I'm going to stop there. That's God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Right? So the reason why I share that, I wanted to just bring out just two points. When I looked up the word, right, help me, it is pronounced in Hebrew, Azer. And Azer is spelled E-Z-E-R. Right, it's said like this, Azer, but it's actually spelled E-Z-E-R. And I think that's really important because when we look at that word, right, when we do the etymology of that word means 50, right? It's 100 times noted in the Old Testament. And 50 of those times, it's God is helping us. God is helping man. God is helping us in our situation. The other 50 times, right, that is mentioned, right? So the other 50 times that it's mentioned in a military force, a military battalion, a military, a war. In other words, a military war that's called alongside of. So in other words, that's like getting help to fight in a war, another military battalion coming to help you in war. Never is it mentioned, help me, that it is some sort of a subservient or one who serves. It's actually one who partners. You see what I'm saying? And I think this is really important that men and women, when God had put them together, because it was God's idea in the beginning, it was that there would be a partnership. So it wasn't that the woman was supposed to serve the man and to be there, you know, but it was that it was a partnership and that they would go to war together, that they would be able to fight the battles together, that they would be able to go and take on whatever it was, and they would do that together, whether it was in the kingdom of God, whether it was with their families, whether it was in business, and in today's instance, it's going to be in finance. And I wanted to just make sure that we understand that. And so I share 10 of this checklist, which I think is really powerful for you. I'm going to, for today's, just for the brevity of time, I'm going to skim through the first five, which I've already given to the callers that were on Thursday, but some of you may be here. I'm just going to skim through the first five so we can be all on the same page on what I share. And I'm not going to give as much attention to those five as I'm going to give to the last from 6 to 10, but I just want to make sure that you understand those, if that's okay for you, okay? All right. Yes. So the first one on your financial, your strategic finance, so you need a checklist. This is how you're going to get your finances and your view and your understanding. This is going to be a starting point for you, right? This is going to be your foundation that I'm going to give you, that you need to have this. This is something that you need to look at the end of the year and if need be, each quarter of the year, or anytime there's any significant changes in your life or even minor changes that go on in your life, is called a strategic financial plan checklist. You know, I teach this. This is a seminar that I provide. So here's the first one, right? This is the first one you need to have. Number one, life change. Example, like retirement. Are you going to be retiring? New family members. It's, you know, a change of residence. right? And so what this is saying is that life changes, life event changes. Do you expect changes in your personal life that will significantly impact your financial plan? This could be switching jobs. This could be changing marital status. This could be moving from one residence to another. All right? Are there any significant events occurring that will impact your family? Right? So these are the things. This is the first, that's the first thing you want to know, because that's important, because all of those things have a way of affecting your financial, right, liquidity, your financial position. Okay? So these are very important. So just make sure you're, you know, such as children going to college or getting married or parental needs or caring for them, all of those things have a way of affecting. So that's what you want to see if there's any. And you want to go through this preferably with a financial advisor, someone that you've scouted, someone that you've done some hard work to find out. They have a body of work. If that, you know, that's what you want to do. This, you don't just want to, if you're the first time having this, you don't want to do this by yourself. You want to do this with someone who knows how to help you put this together. But we'll talk more about that. Let's just worry about this right now. Number two is overall financial plan updates. So this means, overall financial plan updates. Do you have documented financial plan that has been reviewed within the past 6 months? Right? And by the way, if you don't have this, that's even better. If you have it, great. If you don't have it, this is not to put anybody down. That's why I'm saying we're going from illiteracy to legacy. That's why I'm saying we're going from illiteracy, some things that we didn't know. But Maya Angelou said, but when we know better, we do better. So I'm not putting you down. This is empowerment time, and I hope that you're taking this practice. This is a time. This is what God is doing for you in this season. He's bringing this to you. I just want to make sure you know. Right? So that's right. Do you have a financial plan that has been reviewed within the – do you expect changes to your income and expenses in the upcoming year? Very similar to the first one, if you notice. Right? There's some continuity building here, right? And the last thing I'm going to say about two, because I got to get on, right, is do you have a budget that reflects your values and your priorities, right? Do you have a budget that reflects? Yeah, and the last one on number two, real quick, do you have any stock options or restricted shares, long-term savings, or even a retirement plan? That's in number two. Right? Number three, very important, emergency fund. You need to have 3 to 6 months of money put away for your expenses. In other words, you need to have saved. And you need to have saved at least 3 to 6 months of your rent. In other words, if you're renting, right, if your rent was $1,000, right, you need to have $6,000 saved in the bank in case an emergency, in case you lose your job, in case something happens. $6,000 away, you know, and some people that's their whole savings, that's their whole life savings. But this is not going to be that anymore. I'm believing God that we're going to begin to take money out of our checks. There's ways to do this kind of stuff where you can take money that you don't even see, you know, $50-$60 a week, and this kind of money, right? It's an emergency fund able to be accessed easily is what this is all about. In the event of emergency, this is how you go from illiteracy to legacy is what I'm saying. Number four, right, insurance policies. Do you have insurance policies? And here's the number one I want to talk about. You know, I want to talk about homeowners and renters. And if you do, is it sufficient to cover your home and the property? So many people, you know, have homes, but they don't have insurance. That's not a good idea. Many people are renters. Well, I rent. I don't need insurance. It's not a good idea. You want to cover the things that cost you money in the event of a flood, in the event of anything, from being robbed. I don't care what it is. Anything that's significant, you want to have insured. And the next one you want to have is life insurance, you know, and will it replace your income for your dependents, is what I'm saying, that you want to have life insurance. Right, I said last week, and I said it respectfully, but I mean it sincerely, and I mean it firmly. That's why you need somebody to tell you this stuff, right? It is time out for GoFundMe plans. It is time out for our community to walk around with Gucci bags, Louis Vuitton bags, nice cars, but no life insurance. And we're talking about GoFundMe. This, it doesn't add up. It is not the life that God has planned for us, all right? So I want you to know that. So life insurance, you want to have life insurance, you know, and the next one is health care insurance. Do you have suitable health care insurance? I know that's a big deal today. That's a big deal, all right? That's number four, real quick. The next one is outstanding loans. Number five, outstanding loans and credit. Are your current loans and credit and credit cards at a higher than market rate? And, you know, there are high interest rates on credit cards. So credit cards have to be used with a certain level of wisdom. Should you reconsider refinancing or consolidating your credit cards or loans or debts so you can have one bill, you know, one bill. And how do you do some of that stuff? You pay off your lowest bills first. You pay off your lowest bills first. Listen to me, you pay off your lowest stuff first, you get rid of those, and you work your way to that big one, and you pay off your lowest first. If you have any outstanding loans, do you have a plan for paying it back in a timely manner? Number six, we're going on to the new, gift to heirs. Have you considered making gifts to heirs while you are living to reduce the size of your estate? That's for those of us that have estates, right? These are the kind of decisions. What I have here is for people that are in legacy mode, people that have moved from illiteracy and they're in legacy. So I'm giving you the information of people that have means. And what I'm believing God for is even if you don't, that this is, you'll start looking at your income in this regard. And this is how you're going to be able to do it. Have you considered making gifts to heirs while you are living to reduce the size of your estate. This is for people that have estates. These and how do they use their estates in such a way that continues to allow them to have money? And doing that, they give the money to charities. You know, we see people do that with many of the colleges today. We look at some of the Harvard people. There's people that give $40 billion. Harvard has $40 billion in heirs, you know, that people have given to estates. I mean, this is amazing. But then we have the HBCUs, right? They're struggling, right? The black colleges, and, you know, they're struggling. Nobody, you know, we're trying to get the loans exonerated. And now, meanwhile, Harvard, right, has $40 billion in estate, and they still charge some of the highest school tuitions in the country, yet at $40 billion. Think about that, family. Right? So do you have a charitable giving strategy? And I know many of you, I pray that many of you already so into New Season ministry, but that's part of the strategy. This gives you a way to have your charitable donations and also the potential for tax benefits. So you gotta think about this stuff. Yeah. So when you're giving, you know, you have to understand that you're giving in ways that's two ways. The more you provide, of course, it's a blessing to you, but it also gives you blessings also in the same regard in your taxable relief. This is very important and it's strategic. I want you to know, number seven, estate plans associated with legal documents, right? Do you have an estate plan in place that accurately reflects your intentions? I can tell you I do. Do you have a living will? Health care directive, health care proxy, you know, and one who's the power of attorney. I do. I have this. If anything should happen to me, I have a will. I have an estate plan. My daughter, the plan is already there. You know, but the plan is already there. She just got to get it and carry it out and enforce what I've already. So this means you have to be thinking ahead. This means you have to think about what you're looking to do with your money. I don't even want my daughter squandering the money. You ever see, I'm dead, I don't care what they do. No, that's not where I'm at. It's not where I'm at. I want, you know, I want certain things for my grandchildren. There is a plan, and I plan for her to continue to keep the legacy of our family.
Yeah.
I don't know if somebody can hear me today. And you, yeah, you want to ensure that you have a legacy. You want to make sure that my grandkids are covered. I got three of them, and I want to make sure that my daughter is good and my grandchildren are good. And guess
Amen.
What? Amen. They have a start. Have any changes occurred that might require? So sometimes things happen in your life that may require you to update these documents. That's why you have to be vigilant about a plan. That's why you have to go over them, you know, and see any event. Anytime you have a life event, someone passed, I gotta look at my papers. I gotta talk about this stuff with my children or those that are proxy for me. We don't even talk about that stuff in our family. We don't even talk about in the event. If something happens to me, I want you to, you know, I need you to know this is what needs to happen. Everybody's burdened down. Everybody wants to cry, jump in the casket with everybody when somebody dies, and all that stuff. And you know, I know that there's a person. I had to make sure that my mom and my dad were taken care of when that time. And so I had to stand up, and I had to go through that process and be strong because there was business that had to be taken care of. You know, yep, there was an emotional side of it. There was a spiritual side. But guess what, family? I wish I had somebody in church. I want to give somebody a high five and say there was also a financial side. There was a financial side. So I could cry. Yeah. I could do whatever I want. There was some business that had to be taken care of. And that's all I'm trying to say. The same thing that we all have to face. And I say that with much love to you. Number eight. This is why you need to have someone to talk to. I have what you call a wealth advisor, right, that I have, that I talk to, that, you know. And so this is – so number eight is tax and market changes that may impact you. So there are things that happen each year potentially that can affect what you get, what you don't get, and what you can write off and which – so you want to be current on those things with your advisor, with your accountant, so you can know what things you may be able to take advantage of or some things that may impact you in a different way. And you want to be aware of those things because those things affect your money, you know? So this would include changes in tax rates, your deductibles, right, changes in your contributions, you know, in your retirement accounts, changes to required mandatory distributions from retirement plans. You know, there's a certain amount of money that you can touch at 59 and a half, and then there's other money for those that are 70 that you can touch. When you take money before that, you get taxed. You have to know all of these things and how they're going to impact you and how can you manage these risks, right, when markets are shifting like they are now, when markets are volatile like they are now. And that's why you need to be in consulting with somebody so you could, you know, be on top of everything and you are not losing money. And you say, oh, I need this money right now. But, you know, it might be you need to wait a month or so when the market may, if it's a recovery time, it just varies. And that's why you want to be talking. You want to have that person, you know, and I'll say something to you after this. Here's number nine, key retirement dates. So should you take advantage of catch up? Sometimes some people didn't save when they could have. For various reasons, they wasn't making enough, you know, and I found out that we can all say we never was making enough, but all I can tell you is I took advantage of 401k when I was working because what it did was, you know, putting in the 401k, I took it, you know, I had it done before taxes, so that lowered my income. You see, when you give to the 401k and the IRA, that lowers what you make. So you're not being taxed on that money. So if you're putting in $10,000 a year, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later, if you're putting in $10,000 a year, I mean, you know, if you make, say, $80,000 a year, you're only going to, and you put 10 or 15 in your 401k, you're only going to be taxed for $60,000. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So these things come. So those are the kind of things that I'm talking about. And are you hitting, you have to look, here's another one in number nine. Are you hitting one of the key dates for government benefits this year? In other words, age 50 is a key target date. I'm going to give you a couple of target years. Age 50, age 55, age 59 and a half. Lord, I know some of y'all saying, oh, Lord, when they going to get to me? Or they pass me? Somebody say, I'm not there yet. 62, 65, and 70 and a half, right? Age 50, 55, 59 and a half, 62, 65, and 70 and a half. These are key target dates for government benefits. So you need to know that. This is why when you go sit down with a financial advisor, this, you'll have this list with you, hopefully, that you're putting together, that you're putting together right now. You put, and you'll be, these are some of the things you'll be talking about. And you'll be going to them informed, but I got more information so you can make sure when you go, you're more informed, because you don't want to ever go to somebody when you don't know what you're talking about. So you always want to come to the table prepared, and what I'm giving you will allow you to come to the table and sit and feel kind of proud of yourself. You want to feel, when you sit down, you don't want to seem like, you know, a deer with headlights on. You want to sit like, look, I know what I'm talking about, so don't even try it. Don't even try it, you know. So number 10, retirement income plan, right? A retirement. Right. Number 10, if retired or semi-retired, review status of your income sources. This means Social Security, pensions, payments, and annuities. All right, this is number 10, retirement income plan, if retired or semi-retired. These are the things that you want to review, the status of your income. Have you reviewed your retirement expenses, right? You know, every time my guy goes through that with me, it seems like it annoys me because it seems like I'm telling him, it feels like I got to telling him how much I spent for the year or how much I'm, you know. I'm like, this, you know, and it takes some getting used to. And he had to remind me this year, you know, James, I'm working for you. I'm trying to save you money. I was like, oh, okay, because I felt like he was getting in my business, you know. So I come from the family we don't talk about, sir. But he was like, you know, James, I'm trying to look out for you, you know. So I was like, oh, okay, you know, he had to remind me because I guess I was getting a little smart and sassy. And so he had to let me know because, but, you know, I'm just trying to make sure we making sure we're doing the best with you. Here's another one. Do your required minimum distributions cover the balance of these? So they call those RMDs. Do your required minimum. So whatever your, you know, money that you get, that you withdraw, you know, you just want to make sure what implications those have for you tax-wise, or, you know, you don't want those things to take out money and then you wind up paying more tax at the end of the year because you took money out. So those are the things you want to be mindful of. Here's another one. Is your retirement plan able to weather the key retirement risk? Right? And so that's really important. Is your retirement plan able to weather the key retirement, such as longevity, health care, inflation, and poor market returns? Like what's going on now? Sometimes, you know, the market is kind of volatile. Does your retirement plan, can it withstand that? You know? And so many of us don't have retirement plans. Right. So for those of you that don't, you can do your own thing. You can get Roth accounts. You can get your own IRA, individual retirement accounts. Today, there's so many ways that if you don't have 401ks, I know I came up in that era because I'm a boomer myself, but not every job has that. But that doesn't mean you can't prepare yourself. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And then here's the last one that I want to say about number 10, and then we can get to some other things, right? Have you made adequate accommodations for healthcare needs, including? So sometimes as we get older, you know, and sometimes you don't even have to get older, right? You can be young and get sick. You know, your health can go, because I think true health, right, true wealth is our health, right, before anything, right? I'll say that again, right? True, the first wealth is our health. Yeah. Right? And so this is really important. So we want to make sure that we have those kind of things, in mind, because sometimes if you get sick or in the hospital and it's eating your money up, they start billing you when you come out, and, you know, it can get crazy. So you want to make sure you have maybe some either short-term disability or long-term disability, whichever one, something that defers that cost off in the event. And I know it sounds like a lot of things, but these things, what I'm saying to you, will ensure, right, family, that you are not operating in illiteracy, but you're operating in legacy. And legacy,
amen.
This, I want to give you what legacy really means. Legacy does not mean leaving something behind. That's called inheritance. Okay, listen to me. Mm-hmm. Legacy is not leaving something behind. Legacy is passing something forward.
Amen.
It's passing the baton forward. Moses passed the baton to Joshua. You hear what I'm saying? Passing the baton forward, not leaving something behind. That's what this is about. You passing your family, your generation, and your people and your family forward when you operate in legacy and not illiteracy. All right? So these are a couple of things that I had for you. I'm prepared to, you know, share some other things. If you all, you know, interested, I have some more things for you. I know you are. I wanted to give this fact, right, to the women, if it's okay. I shared this last week, but I think this is really important. Sisters, and I hope I don't scare my brothers, but 80% of men die married, while 80% of women die single. You will likely, my sisters, be the last one standing between you and your husband. Very likely. I didn't say it's in every case. But statistics show, right, that 80% of men die married, 80% of women, right, die single. And that includes handling finances. And that's why, and many times women marry, right, because of looking for financial security. Right? Many times, but what I'm saying to you, for anybody that's on, you don't have to do that. Right? Right. And so you don't have to do that. You know, I think that women should generally work to save 14% of their income to have enough to last through retirement. So whatever you make, ladies, if you take 14%, and by the way, you don't have to do the 14% in one shot. You can start off doing 10% and each year add another percent to it, right? So that you're incrementally going up as you might make some more money, because that's what I used to do, right? I used to do that every year when I would get a raise. I would take 1% off. I would add 1% and put it in the savings. I would put 1% in every year, 1%. Every year, 1%. Every year, 1%. Every year, 1% until it kept going up, you know, and that's how you want to do it. Those are some of the things, right? So, but let's see if there's any questions. I know that time is swiftly moving, but if there's any questions, I'm here to take some of those as well. Let's just be organic, and I'm ready for you. Pastor, if you have something for me or you want to open the line, whatever you want to do.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and thank you so much that sharing that wealth of information, and I'm sure we have some questions. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the line at least at this point, and then if there's any additional information that you want to share, we can do that as well. Go ahead, if you have a question, and press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 on your keypad. And we'll open the line up with her question. All right, caller 0400. Go right ahead.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for the information, Pastor. I was listening to you about making changes. How often, like if you don't have any life changes,
mm-hmm.
But how often should you update your last will and testament if you don't have any additional changes or minuses? How often should you update?
So you, at that point, if you don't have any, then you would just do it once a year, right? You don't have to update. You just want to review in case you might want to change something. You know, if you don't have any changes, you might say, you know what? I think too much money is coming. I'm having too much money coming out, and I don't have no change. I'd rather have some of this money in my pocket. you understand what I'm saying? Or, you know, so there's so many ways. Sometimes it's not only saving. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I don't have no changes. It's really just on me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to try to, you know, I don't want people to be happier when I'm dead and gone than when I'm here. I don't need to put no more away. I got enough away to last a lifetime. This money coming to me.
I understand what you're saying, and I want to make a comment.
Yes.
When you was saying that we should all be prepared, making arrangements, with insurances, it's good to have insurance, and it's good to know where your insurance is going. I wasn't the oldest child, but I was the one that took care of everything when my mother passed. And
yes, ma'am.
So it's always a good thing to make arrangements, even for your loved ones that goes on ahead of time.
Yes, ma'am.
Because they don't have everybody, like you say, crying and pulling at the casket, wondering what's going to happen, and everything's already taken care of, and things can go smoothly.
That's
when
right.
You do a pre-arrangement
yep.
on things like that, or even like for my, I take care of my son.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, whatever I leave, I already told them, don't touch his as long as he got income coming in. So you got to let them know, don't mess with his. If
mm-hmm.
I'm gone, leave his alone. So
no,
give them instructions.
I understand.
Give them instructions. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. And I just like to say, and you don't want to tell people, whatever your desires are, you want them to be in writing, my dear. You want it to
yes,
be in the
yes.
will, because people will do whatever they want when you're not here. And, you know, that's one of the problems often that happens in families. You know, I've been around for a little while, and you want to see people get ugly. Is when somebody dies, and when somebody think they're getting something or should be getting something, and also how you mitigate that, right, for all intents and purposes. That's why you have to have a will and last will and testament that you want to be carried out with someone who's proxy to carry those things out, okay? So please just remember that. It's one thing to tell them, folks. But it's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
When it's writing and it's notarized, guess what? All it has to do is be enforced. All right?
Amen.
Amen.
All I can say is amen. Because I done experienced it. Oh, yeah.
That's right. And you know,
if it's not in black and white, it's nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Folks get ugly. So we know
yes.
how that goes. So
very good
yes.
information. Very
yes,
good.
Yes, my pleasure. Anyone else? Let's go. Let's get a couple in. I'm ready.
Amen. Go ahead. We impress your dial pad. This is your opportunity. This information is invaluable. You could pay a lot of money. There are some people that would charge much money to have a webinar with this information that Pastor Baker is sharing with us. So go ahead and take advantage. You've got a financial advisor, a consultant right at your fingertips. Press one on your dial pad if you have a question. We'd love to hear from you. This man of God is knowledgeable. And he's ready to provide you with some guidance, as he said, from illiteracy to a legacy. We want to show that legacy that's able to share and pass on a good fire. The word of God even said a good man, not only a good man or woman, a good man leaves a legacy for his children's too.
That's right. That's right.
Valuable. Go ahead.
Can I read one scripture? Can I read one scripture? It's found in 2 Corinthians 8:7. And 2 Corinthians 8:7. Y'all write that. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Right in the Amplified version. You know, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. And so this is also for ministry as well. I believe that as we get an increase in our personal lives, as we take advantage of these kind of financial tools, one of the other sure ways to be blessed is to make sure that we give. So look at what Paul is saying to the church. He says in the church of Corinth, he said, just as you excel in everything, you lead the way. You lead the way in faith. You lead the way in speech. You lead the way in knowledge, in genuine concern for others, and even in your love, right? You lead the way. He said, see to it that you excel in the gracious work of giving. I want to make sure that y'all understand that too, that while we're here, this is not, you know, we're not, nobody's asking you for nothing, so that's not what this is about. But I think it's really important that we understand that many times when you go to the, people are telling you how to give. I shared this last week, right? But these leaders are not, they're showing you how to prepare yourself so that you and your legacy are together. You, with the things that you need to do financially to move from illiteracy to legacy. And I think that it only speaks for itself that that's what Paul is saying here, that we also want to make sure that we're excelling. Even as we excel in preparing for the estates, we excel in planning for our IRAs, 401, we want to make sure that we excel also in giving, because that's how the work of the ministry go on. Everything you do in ministry, it takes money to even put lights on. It takes money to open the doors. I mean, I know I'm not talking foreign language here, but I just want to make sure that I say the truth, right? So if there's anything, even when you do calls, you know, you got a, you know, a conference call, everything just costs. If you get somebody to come in, a guest to come to your church, whatever to speak, whatever it is, you know, it's always something. And so we just want to make sure that we have people that understand that and how important that is to be able to supplement and defray the costs of the ministry. So I just wanted to share that too. I'm sorry, Pastor. Is anyone else there?
No, you're perfectly fine. Praise God for you. Caller, your last four digits are 9688. 9688. Go right ahead, please.
Yes, I do have a question. Thank you again for this information. It's very valuable. I wanted to ask a question about the key requirement date. You had mentioned the ages, 50, 55, 59 and a half, 62, 65, and 70 and a half.
Yes.
Are there dates? Do you are these times or ages when we can make large sum deposits during tax time, or is it any time we receive
these are key dates for government benefits. So, yes, some of that is for tax time. Some of that you're eligible to take more money out than other times, you know, without being penalized. Absolutely. Whoever you are, my sister, you are dead on it. But it's not just for tax purposes, but it's also for your income purposes, too, that you can see those times to see, like when you're at age 50, how you look as you're closing in. Maybe you wanted to retire at 55, right? And you're at 50, so you want to see how you're looking financially at 55, you know, at 50, so that you can kind of now project what you need to do between 50 and 55 to get you where you need to be, or likewise with 50. So you can see, you know, I'm, you know, where I need to be when I'm at 59, what position should I be if I'm doing this? And because you can do all of that. All of that can be projected. You know, so yes, there are tax implications.
Okay.
There's also a ways to see what more you need to do, or make, you know, or what else you can do in between these times. So that's why they're critical ages, you know, to look at. So yeah, there's so many, but dope. That's why I had key dates for government benefits, you know, as well as those dates, because sometimes at 50 you can do things, sometimes at 55. So you want to know everything that you're entitled to at age 50, everything that you're entitled to at age 55, you want to know everything you're entitled to at all of these ages and what benefits you and what works against you as well. So great question, woman of God. Both questions are great so far.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Carol.
I hope I answered your question. I hope I answered your question. I really do.
Amen. Amen. Is there another? All right, Pastor Jasper.
Oh, Pastor Baker.
Yes.
For life insurance.
Yes.
How much life insurance should one cover? And
yeah,
for
so you know that's all. Those are all personal preferences. You know what I mean,
okay.
Pastor.
Yeah.
So those are all personal preferences. So I don't like, you know, so, but what I'm saying is, you know, some people want to leave something for their family, you know, and so
yeah.
that what it would be. So, but if there's others of us like say, listen, I'm just going to leave enough for somebody to bury me, you know, and I don't know who that, you know, but I know I'm the type I want to leave, you know, I came up with parents that they did the best they could. And so, but they, you know, my dad always told you got to do better than me, Junior. And man, thank God I thought that was like a prophecy over my life. You know what I'm saying? So now, but he gave me these values. You see, he gave me the values that I have. He gave me the hard work ethic, you know, with jobs and everything. So now I'm able to do what he wasn't able to do for us, right? But he did have enough. My dad, by the way, he hadn't, God rest his soul, he had enough insurance so we can bury him. I bet you that.
Yeah.
I bet you that. And he had enough that, you know, my mother could have a little something, you know. But that was really it. But in our generation, mind you, I took it a little bit further, right? I got enough where they can bury me, and then they can cry for a little while and then smile later after I'm gone. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So what I'm saying, I'm saying is, to God be the glory. Every generation we want to make do better, and then you want to make sure what kind of insurance you get, right? There are two things I want to say about insurance question. But for some of us, it may just be term insurance because some of us didn't get insurance.
Yeah.
We waited till we got too old. So once you get a certain age, it's better just to get term insurance. Term insurance is like insurance that you pay for like for 10 years or 20 years.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Right? Because you don't want to start from something because the older you get, the more insurance costs. You see?
Yeah.
So you want to get insurance when you're younger because then you have better, you know. You know, you get better pricing and better little packages with that. So when you get older, you just want to, as you get older, when you start crossing that 45, you know, the 40 and in them 40s, your best bet is just to work on getting some term insurance and call it a day, you know.
Okay.
And that's another thing that you can, you know, we can talk about down the road. But thank you, Pastor. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Yeah, and can I say this too? For everybody here, I know we're coming down the home stretch. It's important, right, that what are you reading? Like when you want to really get to this, to learn how to grow, right, we got to do some reading in your downtime. You know, you need to become more financially educated. So you don't want to, before you even start looking to a financial advisor or someone to talk to, you got to start educating yourself. There's some books. I have a book that I want to give you all on this call tonight. Remember the last time I told you, right, to buy or download, check out from the library, three books, I said, written directly from women, right, for those sisters, on money. Just the financial basics, you know, nothing deep, nothing too complicated. Get inspired and get educated. It's just like anything else. If you're gonna buy a house, you need to learn as much as you can about a house. If you're gonna buy a car, you want to learn. If you're going to school, you want to learn much about the school. The same thing it is with money. Here's a book that I want to give you. I think I did give it to Pastor Constance, right? Pastor, did I give it to you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
the name of the book is, I'm going to give you the name of the book, and she'll send it out in I guess, in the show notes later. But the name of the book is She Handle It. Yeah, the name of the book is She Handle It, So Can You. I'll say it again. I feel like shouting right now. She Handled It, So Can You. And the lady's name is Arwen Becker, A-R-W-E-N-B-E-C-K-E-R, Arwen. And it's going to be in the show notes, but she handled it, so can you. So I think that's, so we want to get edge. We want to go to seminars. We want to go to seminars. We want to attend events like this. So I know pastors, I know Pastor and you guys are doing this. This is the kind of things you want to start. And this is going to help you get educated. This is going to help you become more literate. And you're going to really be able to help your own cause in attending things just like this. And lastly, I'd like to say about real estate. I want to tell you to make sure you look at stocks, annuities, things like that. Find out about that. See if that's something good for you, you know? And then the other thing is, why invest in real estate? And I just want to give you these five quick points. Why invest in real estate, right? Well, here's the first one. Real estate has cash flow, right? Cash flow. And cash is always the boss. I wish I had time to shout if I had to. But Cash is always the boss, you know. So cash is very important. You know, it's good to have savings, right? It's good to have this one and that place. But you know what? It's also good to have cash and not the one under your mattress, right? The one that you got to keep in the money market. Whereas, like, where you put it in the bank in the savings, you're getting 0.5%. But if you put it in a money market, you're getting 4% and 5% on that. So you want cash flow, money that's liquid. The other reason why real estate is important is because of appreciation. You know, most things depreciate. When you buy a car, when you pull it out the lot, it depreciates. You understand? When you buy a house, it appreciates. The older the car, the older the house gets, except for, you know, sometimes we have those little rough patches with the markets and everything, but they always settle itself. The house goes up. I know I bought my home in this house I'm in now. I bought it in 2018. Guess what? It's cost more now in 2023. That's what we call appreciation. Man. Right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the tax benefits. There are tax benefits to having a house. And then there's another thing. That's number three. Number four is hedge against inflation. That protects you. Houses protect you against inflation many times as well. You know? So, and then lastly, it also helps you to build long-term wealth and legacy.
Yeah.
Real estate. So I just wanted to make sure I gave you those five. I hope I wasn't too fast for you. But cash flow. Number one, appreciation, tax benefits, hedge against inflation, build long-term wealth. All right. And lastly, do me one favor. If I had somebody who said, what kind of tip would you give me when it came to money? Stay away from, learn how to avoid getting close to get-rich-quick schemes. That's what I'll tell you. Learn how to avoid that usually don't work. So stay away from anything that somebody telling you could do real fast, and you know anything that's don't stay away from any of things like that. That's a surefire way to lose your investment and to really be set up for a great disappointment. Okay, I don't know if that, I think I
Amen.
Yeah yes yes
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Oh yes, that God be the glory.
Yeah.
You have truly set us a buffet of information and knowledge regarding financial literacy, financial and helping to improve our financial information and status and legacy. Thank you. That is so very important. Did you have one of those?
Yeah, lesson one from the man of God. Amen. That's your all
basis.
Amen. That's the home run right there.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
All the pain on that one.
Yes,
sir.
All the pain.
Well, we give God thank you again so much, Pastor Baker. It has been truly well and we educational, yes, informative. We just give God thanks for you and praise for you. And thank you for sharing. And I know that the people will be blessed tonight by the information that you shared. We're going to go ahead. We don't want to close the broadcast out without giving the opportunity for salvation. We just ask if you're on this line, don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This is your opportunity. Romans 10:9-10 shares it so plainly that only if you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart upon the Lord Jesus and believe that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So it's a simple prayer. It's saying, Lord, I ask you to come into my life and I ask you to take charge of my life because I know that you are the Son of the living God, that you came to this world, lived, died, and was resurrected for my sins. And if you prayed what that simple prayer, we welcome you into the kingdom of God tonight. Your name has been written down into the Lamb of God. Praise God. Never to be erased. So we thank God for Jesus Christ.
Christ. We thank God for your salvation. We give all the praise to you. Also, I wanted to share, yes, I will be putting the title of that book in our notes when we send out our text tonight. Just look for it. He handled it. So can you, God. We will share that information. And for those of you that may not have been on the call last Thursday, or if you want to even pick up on the information that Pastor Baker shared 2 Mondays ago, our broadcast is archived and recorded, and it is available for your listening pleasure to bring it back again, and that is on our website at www.newseasonmen, that's NewSeasonMin, as in the abbreviation for ministry, newseasonmen.org. And you go to our website, scroll to the bottom of the page, you will see the link for Seasons of Purpose blog class. Click on to that, and you will be able to have these messages and all of our messages that are archived. So if you miss any of the time. Well, we again thank God for the opportunity to, and I'm going to ask Pastor Baker, to close us out in prayer. Praise God. If you would do the honors of closing us out in prayer again, we thank God for you.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you again for having me. So let us look to the Lord right quickly. God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all that have called in. We thank you for the visionaries, Pastor Constance and Pastor Jasper, and we thank you for all those that have called in from around the world. We just believe in you, oh God, for today. We thank you for just hearing some things that can help us to be better in our financial areas. In this Lent season, God, not only are we reflecting about our spiritual health, not only are we reflecting about our family's health, but we also are concerned about our financial health, and we know that you're going to help us in every area and every phase of our lives because you're a holistic God. We want you to know that we love you, and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for those that will hear the word and be doers of the word. We know that you want us to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul would prosper. So we close this prayer just saying, how can we say thanks for all the things that you have done, things so undeserving, yet you proved your love for us. Voices of a million angels could not express our gratitude, all that we are, all that we ever hope to be. God, we owe it all to you. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before his throne, be all wise, majesty, dominion, and power, now, henceforth, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We thank God for you again tuning in. Go forth and have an awesome week. And to God be all the glory. Thank you. Hallelujah. Good night.
Hallelujah.